First John chapter 5, verse 13. Put your finger there and turn to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 5:13. And 1 John 4:4. I hear paper rustling. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Underline that overcome and write out there somewhere beside it, past tense. You have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may," underline, "know," not hope so, think so, believe so, "but that you may know that ye have," underline have, that's present tense, right now, you're not waiting on it, "have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." I want to talk to you tonight just for a little bit how to keep on in the faith, just to keep on in the faith. We all get discouraged. We all have hard times. If anybody tells you they, since they've been saved, they've never had any hard times, they lied. And the devil didn't even know who you were till you got saved. And so I want to kind of encourage you tonight how to keep on. We all need to be reminded. And we all need to continually work on what I'm fixing to tell you tonight. Fixing to. From California, that means I'm in the process. I haven't gotten there yet. Amen. Fixing to. From Michigan, that means I'm loading my gun, and if I see that tag again, I'm going to shoot it. all right. There's some things we need to know how to keep on going. Now, none of us are really positive all the time, okay? No one is positive. That positive attitude. Nobody has it all the time. That's something you have to work on. It's something you have to do some things to keep that. It doesn't come natural. Our natural nature is sinful, and that's not positive, that's negative. And there's some people who are lost and some who don't know what they're supposed to be as Christians, they can put a black lining in your silver cloud every time, you know. They will put a negative on your positive every time you talk. So we have to work on it. We've got to, all of us have to work on it. The worst thing that we could have said, in my opinion, I could have said about me, is he has a negative spirit. Now, I am negative about some things. You're supposed to be. I am negative, and you ought to be negative about some things. You can't be positive about everything and happy-go-lucky, sarah. There are some things that you're supposed to be against as well as you're supposed to be for. But I think that we ought to, as a Christian, we ought to keep on keeping on keeping the faith, and in order to do that, you're going to have to work on being positive in your thinking and positive in your actions. So I want to show you a few scriptures tonight how to keep on in the faith, okay? Philippians 4:8, most of you already know Philippians 4:8, but turn over there and mark it in your Bible so the next time that the devil jumps on you about it, you can take it to him. You ever read the devil stuff? I've read stuff in the devil said, I've read stuff in the Bible and pointed at and said, "Devil, I want you to see this." And I'd read it to him. 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, in order to keep on in the faith like we ought to, we're going to have to think on some good things. Now, the news media, if we don't watch out, it gets me discouraged. I, I, I watch it, and I'm singing today, man, you need to just turn this off and go work on your car or something. You're not going to get anything good out of this. There's some people that you can't be around because they're not good and they're not lovely and they don't have any virtue about them. And you can't give a good report about them. So you need to avoid people and things like that. You need to avoid whatever it is that triggers you. Some things trigger you that don't trigger other people. And some things trigger me that wouldn't trigger you to get me depressed. To get me depressed. For instance, being pastor, you all come to church here, you know, and you have a good time and everybody enjoys yourself and everything. But the devil will show me that one empty seat that I was thinking probably done got mad at me anyway. Yeah. And I'll go home and lose sleep over that. What did I do? What did I say? What did my wife? No, what did Ron do? These two men was talking one time. You know, he said, "Listen, I don't know how my wife's going to act one minute to the next." And the other said, "Well, I'm not worried about that. My wife's even tempered." He said, "Well, you ought to be thankful for that." He said, "I'm not." He said, "She stays mad all the time." there's things that trigger you that wouldn't bother me, and there's things that bother me that wouldn't bother you, see. And so what we have to do, we have to not think on those things. Just as sure as I think somebody's getting mad and leaving the church, Rudy will call me and he'll say, "Brother Ron, I was thinking about so-and-so this week, and I called them up, wanted to know if everything was all right, and they told me everything was all right, and they told me what was happening and everything." And I think, "Preacher, you just wasted about 3 or 4 hours worried about that when there wasn't nothing to it, when there wasn't a thing to it." We have to avoid the things that would trigger us. We got to think on things that are lovely. I was sitting at a stoplight the other day, and a nice car pulled up, looked like an educated, nice dress, nice hair, young lady sitting there beside me. And I heard rap music, and I thought, "Where's that coming from?" It was them. And it shocked me. I thought, well, the music doesn't match the people. Not that they weren't black or white, but then they started... And I said, it changed my thinking about somebody. You ought to avoid things like that. You ought to avoid things. There's some things that we don't need to think on. They're not lovely. You think bad about people. You listen to gossip. You're not thinking about lovely things about people. You're thinking about negative, bad things about people. And by the way, you weren't there. You don't know it. You don't know what's going on. What you need to do is look at the person talking to you and say, "Well, listen, number one, I don't gossip. Number two, we need to just go ahead and pray for these people right now." If you'll grab that gossiper by the hand and start praying, say, "Our Heavenly Father, which made the heavens and the earth and all therein, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, good and kind, who hates sin and hates gossip and backbiting. We're not going to gossip about this person. We're praying for them that God will rescue them or help them, whatever it is they need." That person, let go of your hand. They will never share another thing with you. That's what they call gossip. "I just want to share something with you. There's some things I don't want shared with me. Cold, flu, heartburn, indigestion. And I don't want gossip shared with me." Amen? Now, look, we think on the good things. That'll keep us thinking positive about people. Some people think that I'm naive, and I probably am in some areas. I just want the best. I want to think the best about people. And I don't always do it. When I don't, the Holy Spirit convicts me. But number one, we got to do what he says in Philippians 4:8. Number two, turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Look at verse 5 in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 is prayer meeting night, Bible study. I'm going to give you enough time almost to get there. Proverbs 3, look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, excuse me, and depart from evil. I'm sorry, y'all. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Look at this. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, most people only read verse 9 and 10 together. But it starts with verse 5. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Let Him direct your path. Don't be a wise cracker. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. He said, then it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Then He said, honor the Lord with your substance. And He said, you won't run out of anything. And so, in order to keep going like we ought to and have a positive Christian life, we need to think positive about serving the Lord and not negative. Most people, when it comes to serving the Lord, if you get to talking about serving the Lord, they get negative. Because they're scared to death that if they volunteer to do something for the Lord, they're not going to be able to do it and they'll look like a failure. But on the other hand, if they would just follow Him and let Him direct their paths and submit to Him and give when it's asked to give and do when it's asked to do, God's going to bless their life and their bank account and everything else. Amen? Now, if you're going to stay positive, what you need to do is quit looking at obstacles in serving the Lord and look at every one of them as an opportunity to serve the Lord. And I'll use the simplest one. Cleaning this church is an opportunity to serve the Lord. Anybody can do it. Just speaking a kind word to people, leaving a gospel tract. We got some gospel tracts in there that says thank you or you're beautiful and all kind of stuff like that. You know, nice slick ones. And so I'll take one of those and then I'll put a Roman road or something in it too. And I've stamped church's address on them, you know. And we went to eat this past Sunday, my wife and I and Becky. And when I was leaving, they don't really take tips there, I don't think. But I put a dollar in there. If you put a dollar in it, they'll look at it and pick it up. So I stuck a dollar in it. I laid it down there on the table and I walked off. And there was no wait. They all wait on you, you know, and there was no waitress. And as we were going out, one of the young ladies was putting some trash there. And she said, you left something on the table. You left a little booklet. I said, I know I left that for you. Now, that don't sound like doing a whole lot. But that's a positive thing to do because she's going to read that thing where it says that I thank her for being what she was and that the Lord thinks she's beautiful. And then she's going to get a little more curious and read the other one on how to be saved and know it. So don't look at serving the Lord as a negative thing. Look at it as a positive thing. Amen? I mean, in all thy ways. When you get up and go to work, that's thy ways. When you're cutting the grass, that's thy ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Amen? Amen. Boy, got quiet on that one. I better go on. Hebrews 12:2. Listen, I'm trying to keep you keeping on in the will of the Lord and in God's will. And the only way to do that is get some positive thinking about some things. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Most of you already know Hebrews 12:2 anyway. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you know that you need to see some positive sights? You need to look. He's saying, look to Jesus. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that rose from the dead. He's the one that's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for you right now. Look to Him. Don't look to this world or people in this world. Look at something positive. If you can't find nothing else positive, look to Him. I guarantee you, you'll get positive. He never quit. He never gave up. It says, what was that word? Endured the cross. It didn't say he enjoyed the experience. He endured the experience. And look, because he saw me and you and he saw the finished work and what it was going to be, so he endured the cross. And you and I, every once in a while, when we're going through hard times, we'll endure it looking ahead at the positive of it, not the right now. Amen. And keep on going. Don't quit. Don't back up. Don't slow down. Proverbs says that we're not to set our eyes on any evil thing. We're to look at positive things. Well, I watch news and I see those Antifa people. They're really crazy people. They're just out to tear stuff up. Now, I couldn't go to that one of those rallies. I'd get so depressed because the first one I saw put their foot through a police windshield and bust it, I'd want to pick up a brick. And it wouldn't be thrown at the police car either. And so I don't want to look on that stuff that brings me down. I want to look on something that brings me up. Amen? Ladies, I'm sorry. Lifetime TV. God. All of them have crying stuff. My dog died. Woo! My grandma died. Woo! My grandma died. My husband left me. My wife. Oh my! It's just one thing. I can't take it. I can't take it. I done went on YouTube and started watching old 1950s movies and old 1940s cowboy movies. At least you knew who was the good guy and who was the bad guy. The good guy wore a white hat. Stood for righteousness and holiness. And he won. Every time he won. Never got killed. He always won. And so we need to look at the positive. We need to look at positive things. Look, don't start following what's going on at Elevation Church. You wouldn't like it if you were there. And there's people there that don't like it. But they won't go nowhere. Don't start following these churches who all they do is have problems, because all they're going to do is share their problems with you, and then you're going to sympathize with them, and pretty soon you're going to get as depressed as they are and you'll bring the stinking problem in here. Look at the ones that's doing something good. Look at this one. We're doing all right. Amen? Start thinking about good things. Look at good things. Don't look at bad things. And then Psalm 105, verse 2. Y'all not listening fast enough. Psalm 105, verse 2. He says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. You know what he's saying? Speak some good things. Speak positive things. He said, sing about him and talk about his wondrous works. Well, you know, brother so-and-so, he went to the doctor the other day and they cut his hand off and told him next week they're going to take his foot. And you know, he went to see Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones told him he needs a heart operation. And he gave him this medication that reacted wrongly, so he had to go to Dr. Tuttle. And Dr. Tuttle gave him some other medication. And now he can't sleep and he ain't hungry no more. And his wife's left him. His dog died. His children's disowned him. And he lost his Social Security. Amen. Chain doctors. That's right. Those are not positive words. Proverbs 6:2 says that words can be a snare. Now, have you ever wondered why ugly people like me, ugly men like me, get beautiful wives like that? Because we talk sweet. If your wife wasn't nearsighted, you wouldn't even be living over there. Listen. there are words that are like a hook. And these fellas know how to sweet talk. See, I ain't good at it. Never was good at it. My wife says, "This little dress look good on me." Yeah, it looks great.
That means you just read
together. Does this make me look fat? No. That's always the answer. No, you look just like you did the day I met you. You were 16 years old. Hallelujah. And then, see, now that'll get you a lot of points, you talk like that. But if you walk in there and say, "You ain't going to wear that, are you?" That thing. Is that the same dress you had when you was 22? Good words will cause good things, and bad words will cause bad things. Matter of fact, he said life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can kill people with that thing right there. Lives have been destroyed. Children have been destroyed by mean, bitter parents who fussed and cussed and talked down to their children when they were small and made them feel like they were dirt. And then when they grew up, they had no self-confidence. They had no ability to deal with people because they'd been put down all their life. So literally, they killed that person. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, we can use this thing like James says. We can put a bridle on it and use it for good. A horse ain't no good unless you put a bridle on him. You put a bridle on him, he said you can turn him any way you want him to go. And so he's a powerful animal. He said, but this tongue's even more powerful than that. It's set on fire of hell. So put a bridle on it. Hello? You don't know how many Christian men I've known that don't bridle their tongue. And they hurt people, Rick. They hurt people. I know Baptist preachers and pastors that don't bridle their tongue, and they hurt people. It ain't my job to hurt you. Jimmy Moore used to say this, "It ain't my job to get you, it ain't my job to keep you, it's my job to help you." He said, "If I can't help you, then I've failed. You need to go to church somewhere else." And what he was saying is, this tongue here is not, hey, this thing can't straighten you out. It can beat you up and hurt you. But we need to give people some good words. The Word of God. The testimony of the saints. And see, when you start talking those words, not only does it help somebody else, it helps you too. Did you know I preach to me a lot up here? I encourage myself in the Lord right here. While I'm preaching, I encourage myself. I get excited up here. Some of y'all sitting there looking at me like you'd rather be at the race or something. But I'm encouraging myself, see. And I learned a long time ago, I can take this thing and it can be caustic and mean and hateful and destroy people. Or I can try to encourage people. You said, now wait a minute, they're living in sin. I can encourage them not to. But I don't have to beat them up to do that. You was living in sin. I was living in sin. We all were before we got saved. Amen? Amen. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and pick on the ladies. I mean, I done picked on the men. I'll pick on the ladies. Ladies, you can build your husband or tear him down. Whichever one you want to do, it's all up to you. It's all up to you. That big old dumb brute, that's all we are. We're just dumb brutes. We roll the rock up the hill, you know, and then we roll it back down the hill. And then we get our paycheck and we go home and give it to the wife. And she says, "Is that all you made? Is that all you make?" She ought to say, "Oh, honey, you worked hard today. I don't care how much you brought home. You went to work. You got up and you went to work and you came back home and you stay here at night and you bring your paycheck in and you pay for stuff. You're a good man. You're a good man. You'll build him up." But boy, I'm telling you what, he comes in, he's tired. He flops out in that lazy boy, you know. The lazy boy will make you a lazy boy. And he flops out in that lazy boy, and he's laying there, you know, and you say, "Why don't you get up and do something?" And he says, "I've been doing something all day." you don't work down there. That's what Billy says about Danny. Says, "You don't work down there. Get up. You got to go out there and cut the grass and trim the hedges and all this stuff." What you'll do is say, "Baby, I sure appreciate you working." There's a lot of men won't work nowadays. they're go-getters. In the morning, they take her to work. In the afternoon, they go get her. They don't work. Amen? Come on, help me. Now, you can speak positive words and have a good husband, or you can nag. We talked about it in Sunday school. It's like a continual dripping. Drip, 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 drip. Sometimes I'll get to coughing at night in the bed, and I'll get up so I don't wake up my wife, and I'll go in the living room, and I'll lay back in that lazy boy, and there's a clock in the kitchen on the wall, and I hear that thing going, tick, 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 tick. Tick, 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 tick. I get my pillow and I go back to bed. But listen, a continual criticizing and nagging ain't nothing but a tick, tick, tick. You know what he's going to want to do? He's going to want to get away from you. Come on. Amen. I guess I said enough on that, didn't I? Amen. You can destroy people. You can build up people. Colossians 3.23, I'm about through. Y'all are so happy. Colossians 3.23, not only if you're guilty. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Heartily. As unto who? And not unto who? That's the Bible. You ought to go to work tomorrow and you ought to say, I'm quitting working for you. And your boss man say, you quitting? Say, no, I'm not quitting. I'm just quitting working for you. I'm going to start working for the Lord. And if I please Him, I know it'll please you. Yeah. Do it heartedly. Yeah. Not half-heartedly. Heartedly. That means do it even when you don't want to. Do it heartedly. That means do it when you're tired. Do it heartedly. That means do it when you disagree with the way they told you to do it. Do it heartedly. That means that do it when you hate your boss man. I hope you don't hate your boss man. You probably need to get saved if you do, but some people do hate their boss man. I had one time come that close to hating him. That man was a devil. He was a devil. But listen, I did my job as unto the Lord. And I did it with all my might. And I did it heartily. And you know why? Same reason you do it. We don't work for them. We work for Him. Amen? And look, you ought to do your duties like you're supposed to. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it. Boss man said, I got to do this. I don't want to, but I'm going to do it. You're negative. You're not ever going to be happy on that job. And nobody around you is going to be happy. And when you invite them to church, they're going to make an excuse. But when they get over there in that little meeting they have every day and not around, they're going to say, if that man's a Christian, the woods is full of them. Do they say that in Michigan? Now you know something new. And I didn't say are, I said is. Did they say that in California? If that's a Christian, the wet red woods is full of them. I ain't going down there to that church. He's hateful and mean and disrespectful and lazy. I'd at least do that if I couldn't say amen. Methodists nod, Holroyd. Methodists don't say amen. They go. And then they go. Psalm 122, verse 1. Psalm 122. You want to keep on keeping on for the Lord? You want to be happy? It ain't like that song used to say, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, make an ugly woman your wife. That's not true. That's not true. Well, it could be. Because he said, that fellow said, hey, I saw your wife the other day. He said, you did? She said, he said, yeah, she's so ugly. He said, yeah, but she sure can cook. Beauty fades. Listen, the secret is not that. The secret is 122 verse 1. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. If you want to be positive, you want to be forward moving, you got to go to places where you get encouragement for that. And the house of the Lord is a place you can get that. Amen? Boy, I remember one time my pastor, he preached for about 6 weeks. He was mad. he preached against this stuff. He'd preach against everything. And I'd come in there and I was so tired and I wanted to, boy, I needed something. I wasn't guilty of what he was talking about. I wasn't guilty of what he was talking about. And he just tore us up. He'd rake us up one side and down the other, and then he'd pour salt on it and rub it in. And finally, I went out the door and I said, Pastor, and it took a lot of nerve to say this to him, by the way. And I said, Pastor, you have presented the problem very well. We know what the problem is. I said, now you need to give us an answer to the problem. It's in the Bible. I said, they're not going to read the Bible. You're going to have to give it to them. And so of all places, church ought to be a place that builds you up, gives you a positive attitude, makes you feel like going on, makes you feel like serving the Lord while you're serving others, and make you to think on good things and lovely things. And so, the house of God. He said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sunday morning's come. And somebody's going to say, get up, honey, it's time to go to church. I don't want to go to church. But you got to go. I don't feel like going to church. Don't nobody want me down there. They don't care about me. But you got to go. And they say, why? And I say, she says, because you're the pastor. I'm glad. I've been glad to go to church ever since I was born again, March 5th, 1978. Now, I do all kinds of things to get people to come to church. I'll aggravate them. I'll send them emails. I'll send them Facebook messages. I'll send them phone calls. I'll go see them. I do all kinds of things. But I'm going to be honest with you. Nobody's ever had to do that to me. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've got a church I can go to. And I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be honest for just a second here? I was honest anyway. I always wonder when a preacher says that. Was he not honest already? But let me be frank, okay? I don't know where I'd go to church if it wasn't for this church. I really don't. It's a mess out there. And I count it an honor and a privilege to pastor this place. I don't deserve it. Hey, I am happy to go to church. The few times I've been out of church since I've been saved, I was sad. Might have been sickness or travel or something, you know, be out of church. And I was uncomfortable and I was sad and I missed it like I missed a whole day of just gone. I'm glad when they... You know why? Because when I go to church, I know there's going to be people there that will encourage me. And that will love me, even when I'm unlovable sometimes. And I know that the Lord is going to put something good in me. And I can make it through the week. I don't understand people. When they have problems and trial and tribulation, some of them, the first thing they'll do is leave the place and the people that would bless them and encourage them. They leave it. And then 3 or 4 months later, I go see them. They say, well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. I said, well, it hurt mine too. Well, I don't like your preaching. I said, I don't either. That's why I don't like that singing. I said, I don't know about that. I like that singing. I think we got the best singing in town. Well, you know that usher, he put that plate right up in my face and wouldn't move it till I put money in there. Then I say, but he's not even a member of the church. He don't know any better. (Laughter) Where else are you going to get that? Amen. Where else are you going to get that? If you have a problem with going on and feeling good about going on, Revelation 22:17. If you're having a problem going on, you feel like quitting, throwing in the towel, you've got this bad mood, negative attitude, Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And if he didn't get everybody, he says, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now turn to Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Listen, when you're having a problem with going on and you get discouraged, you get down in the dumps, and you get real negative and critical and all that, I want you to notice something. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you can't find anything else positive to think on, you think on the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If you get discouraged, look to the throne of God and look who's sitting up there. And consider Him who endured such for sinners like me and you. And you get, look, you look at your final destination, the race will not be so hard. When I was a kid, we'd be in gym, and I was already a good runner because I was so skinny. I was so light, I was just about not bound by Earth's gravity. And plus, I had a lot of experience running from bullies. On my side of town, if you didn't fight, you had to run or you were going to die. And I couldn't fight. So I run. And in school, they'd say, now we're going to run a 100-yard dash. My little old skinny self, them big old football players and basketball players and baseball players, they run every day. But they didn't know I run every day. And I put my eyes on the prize. I wouldn't watch them. Don't watch nobody else. You'll fall. I got ahead of them. I didn't look back. Don't you look back. You'll trip. Keep your eyes on the prize. And boy, I run. And I'd outrun every one of them every time. Can I brag for just a minute? In the 8th grade, I got President John F. Kennedy's award for running. You remember they came into schools and they had this government program, you could win awards. What did they call that? Anybody remember? Most of y'all too old to remember anyway. President's Physical Fitness Program. And I won it for my age group. I won it because I was ahead of every one of them. Why? Because I looked at the prize. I didn't look at nobody else. I learned not to look back a long time ago. I'd trip and fall and that bully would get me. I learned not to look at the guy running with me, because if I looked at him, he'd stumble, make me stumble. I'd take off, I'd look at the prize. Now I'm looking at heaven. I'm looking at heaven. I'm 63. I've outlived most everybody that I grew up with. I have outlived my family. Most of my brothers and sisters were my age or a little older when they crossed over. But I'm looking at the other side now. I'm not looking to the start. I started in 1978. I'm not going to keep looking back there. I'm not starting over every week. I'm looking at the end. And by the way, I'm closer to the end now than I am the beginning. So why should I be discouraged, Holroyd? What does it matter what everybody else says or what everybody else does? I'm not running for them. I'm running for Him. And I get discouraged sometimes. and I get negative, ask my wife, she'll tell you, I get negative. Of course, it's usually about food or the lawnmower or something like that. It ain't about spiritual things. And I get negative. But let me tell you something. If you'll get your eyes on the prize, you'll have a lot better attitude. It really don't matter what North Korea does. I'm closer to heaven now. It don't matter. It don't matter what China does. That doesn't affect my attitude at all. Hey, it really don't matter who's in the White House. That don't affect my attitude. I'm glad we got a better one, but he still ain't, you know, I mean, he ain't you know what I mean. Look, I got friends. I love them. But my spirituality, my attitude is not going to be according to my friends. How about yours? Get a good attitude. Get in the race. Run when you don't feel like it. Hang around with people that are running. Hang around with people that have a good attitude. Don't listen to negative things. Think on those things which are good and pure and lovely, those things. And keep going. And some's going to fall by the wayside, and years from now you'll be talking about whatever happened to old so-and-so. They got their eyes on something else, and they got negative, and they quit. You don't do that. Stay positive. And now if you're not saved, you can't be positive. You're negative. You only got one terminal on your battery, and that's negative because you're not going to heaven. You don't have a whole lot to be happy about, and your time's running out on this planet as quickly as mine is, and maybe sooner, and you need to get positive that Jesus Christ is the Savior and run to Him. Amen. Maybe tonight there might be somebody like that, Brother Ron. Let's stand, Father.